It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 13 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, sponsored by Pilgrim's Pride. In Season 3, Episode 13.
Nailed it.
We're neck deep in football.
Yeah, that's
right. A lot of games with playoff implications coming up. But first, we're going to talk about the number 57. Now you're looking at some guys I don't really know that well.
Ricky Jackson, another great Saints linebacker. Yeah. Him, Sam Mills, and Pat Swilling all played on the same defense, and all really good linebackers. Dwight Stevenson was a great center for the Miami Dolphins for 13 years, played for one team, doesn't happen much anymore. Johan Santana, really good pitcher, pitched a no-hitter or two. Yeah. Daryl Kyle, another good pitcher. And then Sam Davis was a guard on the Pittsburgh Steelers when they were winning all their Super Bowls in the 70s. I think he made four or five Pro Bowls. And a guy that's not really talked about a lot on those 70s Steeler teams. So we're going to talk about him today.
It's a great opportunity. Any Razorbacks that we were able to get a hold of?
I couldn't find any.
Me either. I didn't see any number 57s, you know, and I'm sure there had to be one sometime, but I couldn't find one. So none of note.
Yeah, none of note.
Yeah, so, I mean, out of that, Ricky Jackson's the one I remember the most. I do remember Dwight Stevenson. Was he in the 70s?
Yeah.
Did he play on the undefeated team?
I don't know if he goes that far back, but he goes pretty far back.
Yeah. He was a great center. I remember that. And Ricky Jackson, back when the Saints won the Super Bowl, he was there, right?
Yeah, they had the outstanding defense.
They really did.
Yeah.
They really did, but let's talk about some high school football.
Hometown Poultry Supply is now open in Nashville, right next door to McDonald's at 1516 South 4th Street. They're your new poultry supply and equipment dealer serving all of Southwest Arkansas and beyond. Whether you're building new houses or retrofitting old ones, we've been in your shoes. We're growers ourselves, so we know what works and what doesn't. They have the top brands as well at Hometown Poultry Supply. They take care of you better than they take care of themselves. Come see them today.
All right, it's time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers. The Scrappers on a six-game winning streak. They beat Harmony Grove 35-10. Playing really well, Tony.
They are playing really well. Malvern coming off of a loss, upset by Fountain Lake, 28-23. And Nashville goes up there. And I'm going to say that Nashville is going to get the Leopards' best shot. What do y'all think?
Yep.
I believe they will, too.
I bet you it's not a pleasant week of practice to be a Malvern Leopard.
No. And Nashville, you know, they're it's going to be a tough game. Probably Malvern may be the biggest surprise to me and everybody we kind of look at.
Right.
You know, I know we don't cover them, but we do cover their conference, and not what I expected from the Malvern Leopards.
No.
4-4 at this point in time.
No, they've taken a step back, and probably talent has something to do with that. But, they're still very dangerous. And, I think they're probably a little wounded right now, and I think if you're Nashville, it's important that you jump on them and you keep them down.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of giving them a quick start, a little bit of hope, that'd be a dangerous thing to give Malvern.
So you're thinking Malvern's almost backed into a corner. They might lash out. But Nashville's on a six. I don't want to face Nashville on a six-game winning streak either. Do you believe in momentum in a football season?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
But the thing Malvern has, even though maybe they've taken a step back in talent, they have a lot of young men on that team that know how to win. They know what success looks like, and they're not accustomed to being 4-4.
Yeah.
No, but they did – and they did lose a couple of players to other schools, which kind of has – that affects you a little bit. But, I think – Nashville's playing really well. Coach Brad Cheshire and his staff have stepped them up, you know, a little bit. They've done a good job. I mean, they've just got so many players that are playing well all the time. I mean,
and they've got the incentive now that, you know, they're in the driver's seat. If they win out, nobody can take that number one seed in the conference away from them. There's a lot of advantages that come from that. They'll probably get a couple home games out of it. So Nashville has a lot to play for, and I know Coach Cheshire will have them ready.
Yeah, and when you look, you know, just to talk about a few players that you know, he mentioned Hayden Gray and Bryce Perrin, both safeties, and he mentioned this specifically. They both had nine tackles. You think, well, two safeties having nine tackles, you know, not really a great thing. But he said they weren't 15 yards down the line. These guys were busting up and making plays at the line of scrimmage or right there. So, right. You know, they're really aggressive, and he's got a lot of kids playing well and, you know, throwing the football and running the football and on defense. So I look forward to a good game there, but I think Nashville's going to prevail in that game for sure. And, you know, when they do that, I think their last game's at Genoa Central.
Right.
So that, to me, that puts him, you know, don't want to put the cart before the horse, but they've got a pretty paved road to the first seed in the 7-4A.
Well, yeah, and you know, they earned it because that early schedule was brutal.
Yes,
and they've earned it and went out go into the playoffs 8-2 and be the number one seed in your conference. It would be a big deal.
That's right. Let's see what Coach Brad Cheshire has to say about the Nashville Scrappers.
I'm here with Coach Brad Cheshire of the Nashville Scrappers. And, Coach, another big win.
Yeah, it was. A good win in the conditions that we had Friday night. You know, it was cold and wet. But I thought our kids came out and played hard. And got to give a lot of respect to that Haskell Harmony Grove team who – is a very much improved team from last year that plays physical football on both sides of the ball. And so a lot of respect for those guys and Coach Josh Smith and what he's doing up there. And, you know, offensively, they were able to control the game, you know, for the first half just with what they do. But I thought our defense, for the most part, played well, didn't give up a lot of big plays. Actually didn't give up any big plays. And so we were able to make stops when we needed to. And then in the second half, you know, played really good defense and shut them out. And offensively, when we did have possessions, we were able to score. I think there was two possessions that we didn't score. But overall, good win. Obviously, just another step closer to that conference championship.
Yeah, well, and that's what you're looking for. I mean, six wins in a row now, and nothing's easy this time of year, but from what it looks like, maybe on the downhill slide just a little bit. We'll talk about that in a minute. Before we get there, let's talk about some of the big plays and players that really stood out for you in the Harmony Grove game.
Yeah, you know, and Jacoby Hobson – quarterback continues to grow every single week and get better. Thought he had a really good game. Ended up running the football 14 times for 147 yards, two rushing touchdowns. Also threw the ball very well. He was 9 for 11 with 131 yards and two touchdown passes. He had a touchdown pass to senior Cortez Cooper in the second quarter on a 42-yard passing attempt. And then I tell you, our offense, we end up making a stop and holding Haskell to a field goal with about a minute left. Might have been under a minute. And they kick it off to us, and we go into our two-minute offense. And thought Coach Leffer did a really good job play calling-wise there. We end up moving the football, and with 17 seconds left in the half, Jacoby Hobson hits Carson Chambers on a 28-yard touchdown pass. And so that was good to see, and good to see our offense be able to, handle that type of situation. But that's something we practice, and we practice quite a bit. And so it showed Friday night, and, when that put us up 21-10 and a half with them getting the ball, obviously that's, really good for us. And then we make big stops in the second half and end up scoring two more touchdowns with Hop on a 3-yard touchdown run to make it 28-10. And then the fourth quarter, DJ Jefferson explodes for an 89-yard touchdown run to make it 35-10, which was the final. But DJ came in at the end and played really well. Carson Chambers finished the night with 63 yards receiving and a touchdown. Cortez Cooper finished with 46 yards receiving and a touchdown. Gage Applegate continues to be solid out at receivers. The sophomore, who had 4 catches for 36. Devontae Gillum and Bryce Perrin both had a catch for 10 yards. Offensively, we finished with 441 yards on the night. Defensively, Barry Williams, our leading tackler for the year, finished with 11 and a tackle for loss. Thought two dudes that played really well Friday night that you don't hear a lot about was our two safeties, Bryce Perrin and Hayden Gray. Both of them had 9 tackles and did an outstanding job at the safety position. And a lot of times when you think a safety's making a tackle, it's because the ball has cleared the first and second level of defenders, but that wasn't necessarily the case. That was just Bryce and Hayden being able to take good angles and get downhill and make some tackles for no gain or a gain of 1 or a gain of 2. So I thought Bryce and Hayden played really well. Both of them had 9 tackles. And Makai Johnson, senior defensive end, had 8 tackles and 1 for loss. And Aiden Bradley, 6 tackles and 1 for loss. So those are just a few to mention that played well Friday night versus Haskell.
Just sounds like an outstanding performance by the entire team, what it sounds like to me. So
it was, and you look at it and it's difficult for anybody to get off the field versus Haskell because of what they do. You know, they were snapping the football with, 2 seconds left on the play clock. And so we knew that our possessions offensively were going to be limited. And, once we kind of got a feel for that, and they came out and did some stuff that we hadn't seen and gave us some looks formationally that we had to adjust to, that put us in a bind in the first half. And so that, my message at halftime to the defense was, everybody take a deep breath, calm down. There's no reason to panic, even though, in that first half, we only gave up 10 points, but they were able to, we weren't very good on first and second down. And so therefore we forced a lot of third and fourth downs, but they were third and short, fourth and short. And that's tough to defend in what Haskell does offensively. But we had to make just some minor adjustments with our alignment. And in the second half, we came out and just played just really good defense. And we're able to get off the field and get our offense the ball and allowed them to go continue to score and put the game away.
Well, that sounds great. Good job. You're 6-2 now. You're leading the conference. Now you get to go to Malvern and face the Malvern Leopards up there. One of the things that surprised me, Coach, when I saw, of course, they ended up losing to Fountain Lake 25-23, I believe, was the score Friday night. But Malvern's 4-4, and I'm interested in your take on it. If you'd asked me at the beginning of the year, I wouldn't have thought that'd been the case right now, and I would bet you wouldn't either.
No, just traditionally, Malvern is always very, very competitive. Obviously, they're just coming off the state championship run a few years ago, and this is all. It seems like this is a game, week 9, that always has a lot of implications on, the conference championship. But they lost some good players over the spring or summer. 3 of their better players, better athletes, their quarterback, couple receivers had transferred to Hot Springs. And that's affected them in a negative way. But, you know, Coach Fogelman, the head football coach at Malvern, I have a lot of respect for. You know, I know that they're well coached, but they have, you know, they it's kind of hard to judge. I mean, they've had two bad games, you know, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And losing to Fountain Lake 28-23. And then, you know, they lose to Bauxite the week before that 41-16. You know, so that's 2 weeks of you know, just and you wonder how they're going to react, how they're going to respond. But at the end of the day, you know, all of that is out of our control and none of our business. Our job is just to control what we do and control our effort and our attitudes and our mentalities, you know, you know, and you got to go to Malvern this Friday, which Malvern seems to always play really well at home. And Malvern, you know, just for playoff seeding, I mean, they're going to come out and give us, and, you know, week 10, they got Arkadelphia, a big rivalry for them. They're going to come out these last 2 weeks, and I fully anticipate them to give us their absolute best and play extremely hard. I do not expect this team to lay down or give up. I don't expect that at all. So, you know, that's something that we don't talk about in our locker room is, you know, hey, Fountain Lake beat them, but we beat Fountain Lake. Hey, Bauxite beat them, we beat Bauxite. That's not the mentality you got to have going into it. We've got to continue. One thing I've liked from about our team is we put all emphasis on ourselves and what we do as a team, and just another opportunity this week to grow and get better as you prepare for the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, this game here is a big game for the conference championship too.
Yeah, it is. And this is an opportunity for us to go win the outright conference championship for the first time in about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been, I guess, the last 4 years, we haven't beat Malvern. And so I know our kids are hungry for this one. And I fully expect them to come out and play hard Friday night.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good to me. Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me for a few minutes today. I know you're a busy man, especially this time of year. And congratulations on the success y'all have had so far. Look forward to talking to you about a victory over the Malvern Leopards next week.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time.
Have a great day.
The Mena Bearcats beat Dover 42-7. I don't know if they jumped off the cliffs or not. but
they made the Pirates walk the plank.
Yeah. They sure did. That's a pretty good job there. And you know, Mena's playing hard in a pretty tough conference though, Tony. But big win there. You know, they got a big game this week too.
They do. You know, against the Clinton Yellow Jackets, they host them. Clinton right now above them in the conference standings. Mena in the playoffs as we speak, kind of playing for seeding now, but they finish with Clinton and Dardanelle. That's a tough row this is not something Coach Bailey told me, but I'm thinking if you can split those games, that would be really good. If you can get Clinton or Dardanelle, that would be, I know he wants to win them both. That game with Pottsville, the tie with Pottsville right now in the conference standings, and Pottsville has the head-to-head because of that game earlier. So they be really good for the Bearcats to win one or both of these next two games.
So you're telling me they have five
That's right.
playoff teams? Because, see, I think it'd be more important for them to beat Clinton than Dardanelle, because if Clinton beats them, then they'd still be ahead of them in the standings if they had the same record.
Right.
So this game's really important for the seeding.
Right.
You know, Dardanelle's first in that conference. I think Ozark's second.
Right.
Pottsville third.
No, Pottsville and Mena have the same conference record of 3-2.
Okay.
They're tied for fourth.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, you got it right here. If I just read this stuff before we do it, it'd be a lot better, wouldn't it?
So, why
didn't you tell me that before I screwed all that up? Let's start this over again.
But you get a couple wins here at the end of the year, you know,
yeah.
Maybe get a 3 seed out of it. That'd be really good. A couple of things about the Bearcats. They're going to have a winning season no matter what happens the next 2 weeks. They're 6-2, and Coach Bentley was pretty sure this is the eighth straight year that they've made the playoffs, which is a pretty big accomplishment.
It is a big accomplishment, and congratulations to them for being in the playoffs. Now they're just working for seeding.
Right.
But two big games left in the year, and they got this one at home. So we were just talking about what a trip that is from Clinton to Mena. I mean, at least the leaves are pretty this time of year.
That's right.
But because I'm telling you, that's a long trip.
In the win versus Dover, starters basically only played a half, and Ryder House had 10 tackles in a half. I want to mention that he is approaching their modern day. They don't have records to go all the way back, because I know Mena's had football a long time. I know Mena and DeQueen have played over 100 years. But modern day tackle record, House is approaching that. Want to acknowledge that. And Tripp Hensley, I had his typical day with 3 TDs for the Bearcats.
Sounds good. Let's see what Coach Bentley has to say.
It's Coach Bentley of the Mena Bearcats. Bearcats got a big win over the Dover Pirates, 42-7 Friday night. Coach, tell me a little bit about the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, we our goal was to come out a little bit quicker with a little bit more urgency than we did against Waldron, and I felt like we did that. I mean, long drive, so far travel, and like everybody else, Friday the weather wasn't the greatest. So I was proud of how we came out. We protected the ball again, just the urgency we showed, which I didn't feel like we showed the week before. So I was proud of us for that.
Who had big games for the Bearcats?
Tripp Hensley had another big game. I think he had 2 touchdowns throwing the ball, and then another one running. And Guy Sanderson had a nice touchdown catch. We really had the wealth was spread around a little bit. Ryder House had a touchdown. Chance Hughes. We had several big plays on defense as well. So Aiden Anderson and Grayson Farringer, they're playing great too. Senior offensive lineman for us. And then we had our freshman came back and had his debut. He's back healthy, and he had 3 touches for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's a pretty special kid. So
what was his name?
Hank Rose.
Hank Rose.
Yeah, he's a ninth grader, and he got banged up this summer. Yeah, he's pretty special.
I remember him from the junior high game against DeQueen last year.
Yes, sir.
Heck of a ball player, yes.
He is, yeah. He got banged up this summer and had surgery on his shoulder, and then got cleared, and so we hope to have him make a big impact these last few weeks and head to the playoffs.
Wow, that is impressive. What about Ryder? Ryder have 20 tackles again, or
yeah, we don't even need to talk about him now. He had 10 tackles, and that's in a half. So
wow,
he didn't play any really the second half. So yeah, he had another 10 tackles, and he's creeping up on our modern day tackles for a season. Record.
Oh, he has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So he scored a touchdown too. So he had another great game. Our seniors really stepped up and played again. I think the urgency is just where we were, because we felt like we were lacking that against Waldron, and come out playing against Dover there. Proud of what we were able to do.
Well, Coach, you come out of the Dover game 6-2, 3-2 in the 4A4, and currently tied with Pottsville and host the Clinton Yellow Jackets, and they don't get any bigger than this one.
Yeah, no, we're playoff football from here on out. So, it's big boy football, and we're kind of back to where, we like to be. I think we were the hunted early on, and we didn't handle that, very well. Now we're kind of back to being the hunters, and we've had a really good year, but I don't think that again, anybody's anticipating us to put up much of a fight these last 2 weeks. And so I think that's exciting for us, because we know we will. We know how hard we'll play and how physical we'll play. And we're really excited about getting them at home and having some great environments. And like I said, just playoff atmosphere football. You can't ask for much better. We're excited to coach our guys in a big game.
Coach, is this your last home game of the year, and is it senior night?
No, we'll have one more. So okay. We got Clinton this week, and then we'll have Dardale week 10, and that'll be our deal. So like I said, we're where we want to be. We, with the win last week, it secured us a winning season for back-to-back years, and that's something that's hadn't always happened here, and secured the playoffs. So that's I think that's 8 years in a row for us there, so we're excited about that. But we got bigger goals than that. And, at this point, we're playing for some seeding. That Pottsville loss hurt us early in the year. They got the head-to-head on us. So, we can still come out and do some special things and keep climbing that seed a little bit, depending on how the last 2 weeks go.
Well, Coach, to make the playoffs eight consecutive years, that is an accomplishment. That's probably a lot of Arkansas schools can't put on their resume. It's very impressive. I always enjoy talking to you, and you're always very cordial and frank with me. And I hope we're talking about a win over the Yellow Jackets next week.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You take care.
At Pilgrims, their vision guides everything they do to be the best and most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. Absolutely amazing. We love having Pilgrims Pride as our title sponsor. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, JBS USA invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for their team members and their neighbors, and they provide meaningful investments in projects that will have lasting impact for generations to come. The Hometown Strong Initiative is part of a $70 million contribution to the communities where they live and work. Also, building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical college tuition free. Also, they want their team members to know just how much they appreciate their dedication by ensuring they love working with us. As part of their total compensation package, they offer comprehensive employee benefits designed to meet the healthcare and financial goals of their team members and their families today, tomorrow, and in the future. Their seven values include determination, simplicity, availability, humility, sincerity, discipline, and ownership. These values are reflected in the hard work of their team members every single day. Community is also a driving force behind everything Pilgrims does, whether it's in community events, fundraisers, charitable donations to the community. Pilgrims can always be seen helping wherever they can. We value the people who make our company a success. Seriously, so many fundraisers in the area, you always know Pilgrims always donates the chicken and even cooks it sometimes. They're always seen in the community for many community events. So we appreciate them so much in the community for employing so many people here and also for sponsoring and being the title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. So again, we appreciate them so much. Opportunity awaits. Join their talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
It's time to talk Dirk's Outlaws, and fortunately for us, we have the Dirk's Outlaw play-by-play announcer, Mr. Jeff Tuttle.
Ooh, lucky us. Break.
Yeah, King Tut.
Yeah.
Man.
He just wandered in here after seeing the Girden Lights. Yeah.
No, I just got back from Junction City.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think
that, on the wagon train today. Yeah,
that's right. That you know, he got to call a game last week that probably all of us at call games would love to have gotten the call.
Yeah.
I mean, a 47-46 win for the Outlaws over the Foreman Gators.
How was that game on the old ticker, the old heart?
That didn't affect me any.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet you everybody up there in that press box was squealing like stuck hogs up there.
You're either going to win it or you're going to lose it.
Well, you're right about that. Unless you tie.
50-50 shot.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a
game. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains.
Well, yeah. You know, that's the thing. You know, I mean, as we talk with the coaches, you know, they both said, great game to watch if you didn't care who won.
Yeah.
I think we talked to you a little bit. It's like 34 points scored in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Outlaws jumped out to a 21-0 lead, and really it looked like it wasn't going to be a game. But if you've seen these two teams play in the past, you know there's no quit in either one of them, and they both showed that. Both teams showed that Friday night.
Well, I know you got some guys with some outstanding stats, so let's hear what you got.
There was a lot of stats. 407 total yards for the Outlaws. I think 250 for the Gators, right around there. Drake Thatcher had 16 carries for 159 yards and a touchdown, 3 receptions for 73 yards, so he put together some good numbers, total yards for him. McLean Smith started at quarterback for the second week in a row as Peyton Beckman's nursing a shoulder injury, but Beckman did play receiver the other night. He sat out the Junction City game. He was able to come back and contribute the other night, and really seeing him step up in another role when he's not able to be quarterback was huge. Senior leadership. He had 3 catches for 25 yards and 2 touchdowns in a role that I don't know if he's ever played. you know. And McLean Smith had 25 carries, 102 yards, four touchdowns. One of those being the game-winning touchdown with 34 seconds left in the game. His passing numbers, he was 9 of 17 for 120 yards, and those two touchdown passes to Beckman. Real quick, the tackle charts. I mean, if you're putting up numbers like that, their defenses are going to be on the field. Cooper Smith had 8, Braden Ferran 9, Tomas Salgado 7, McLean Smith 8. Beckman also had 6 tackles, so he was on the defensive side of the ball as well. But Mason Smith led the way like he does most games and had 16 tackles on the night. And that's pretty much the numbers I have for you. You know, they'll have senior night in the holler this Friday against Mineral Springs. It'll be their last home game, so senior night for the Outlaws.
Another real friendly rivalry y'all have.
Absolutely. And we're hoping to be able to announce some big news Friday night. So
you going
to
wait till then?
I don't know. We'll be able to announce it, though.
Yeah, you don't know.
We have a mic in front of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Who are you going to get to announce it?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe this guy? Maybe.
Spud said last week on the radio, he said, next week we hope we have some big news. I said, we're going to have big news. We just want to know if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be big.
Well, if you've been living in a hole in the ground for the last 6 or 8 weeks, you're talking about Friday night 5G lights sponsored by T-Mobile and the $1 million contest that based on the standings on the internet, the Outlaws were ahead by about 500,000 votes.
It really took off the last week and a half, and you know, a lot of that I believe is the team in second place had like a state representative make a derogatory comment about Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
It was like wildfire. I mean,
it got Deanne Vaught all up excited, right?
It will be interesting to see how many votes the Outlaws end up with. Interesting fact that I'll throw out there before we know what the vote total is. There are 3 million people approximately in Arkansas. And I think it's going to go way over 2 million. So,
yeah, I hope you're right. I mean,
I don't think there was any let up. And I kept putting out on my Facebook page, just leave no doubt that Derek's won this thing. Not that they eked it out. Not that, you know, that we use some kind of fake emails or something like that. Leave, you know, if you beat somebody by 500,000 votes, there's no doubt who
that's
won.
That's right.
And that's what we need to do. Leave no doubt.
That's right. But moving on from that, we're just planning on a big victory, and I figure there'll be a party over there that they'll spend about $1 million and $1.
So, probably.
Yeah. So
I got the dollar.
I'll chip in with you.
But anyway, looking at this week, you know, Tony mentioned this off the air, and I think it's a true statement. Dirks is in the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah. You got to win ball games.
Last week was a playoff game. This week's a playoff game. You win this week, next week's a playoff game.
That's right.
If you lose anywhere along the way, you're looking for help from somebody else, and that's the last thing you want to count on is a different team getting you in the playoffs.
So. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, Mineral Springs, beat Lafayette County or Lafayette County, depending on who you are, Jeff. But
sounds good.
Talk
to me.
About a team that fell off the cliff, man.
Well, that's what. Yeah, I don't see.
I got to see them with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. How does this team only score 2 points in a ball game? They just got so many athletes and they're huge. And I just
Mineral Springs. I believe the week that I spent in Junction City. Mineral Springs also beat Spring Hill.
They did.
That week, and, you know, Spring Hill defeated Outlaws. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a competitive ballgame.
And that's the other thing I was going to ask about is because Mineral Springs, they start out like 0-5 or something.
Yeah.
Or 0-4.
0-6,
probably. Yeah, maybe 0-6 because they've won their last two. And so, Not sure where they are either, but what we do know is they're playing a lot better right now.
They are.
Yeah, in Lafayette County, who knows what happened to them, man. that's unbelievable to me. But
they kind of do that every year, though. I mean,
kind of fade as the
year. Yeah, I don't know if, you know, injuries, maybe. I don't know what it is, but.
Well, they don't have a lot of players either.
No, they don't.
And that's right. If you get the wrong
– The ones they have, though, are huge.
Yeah.
And fast.
Yeah. But if you get the wrong ones hurt,
yeah,
you know, that can cause some problems. So, anyway, Mineral Springs and Dirks, they have a little friendly rivalry, nothing to that. What's even makes that better, they're currently tied for fifth in their conference. So, like I said, playoff game.
Yep. They play for what used to be the Howard County Cup, and now it's called the Archie Cawthorn Cup. Archie Cawthorn, referee, you know, called a lot of ball games. A lot of people know him.
Yep.
So there'll be a trophy involved.
Well, that's pretty cool. So looking forward to that. And then Coach Paul Ernest was kind enough to talk to us, and let's see what he has to say about the Outlaws.
I'm here with Outlaw Coach Paul Ernest and Coach. You guys had a ESPN Classic Friday night.
Man, we had a back and forth, nerve-rattling, exciting finish, and luckily we came out on top game. Yeah.
Wow. Was it one of those cases where whoever had the ball last was going to win? Or?
Well, it didn't seem that way. It seemed like if we had the ball last, we were going to find a way to screw it up, because we went up 9 and with 3 minutes to go, and then kicked it where we're not supposed to kick it, first of all, wrong side of the field. And our contained guy on coverage gave up the sideline, and they went down the sideline to take it to within – 3 got a great play by Tomas Salgado on the 2-point conversion that turned out to be huge, was up 3 just under 3 minutes to go in the game. We tried 3 runs, keep the clock going. Coach Baker at Foreman, he did a tremendous job of using his timeouts and then forcing our guys out of bounds, even though we told them, quit, don't run out of bounds, whatever you do, stay in bounds. Funny how that works. We called a 4th and 3, called a tear motion with the running back out of the backfield, and he motions out. They're playing man coverage with 8 guys in the box, and the safety covering my number 2 receiver jumps the motion out of the backfield. So I've got a kid running free right down the middle of the field. All we got to do is drop it to him right behind the linebackers who are blitzing. And we hold on to the ball just a little bit too long with an inexperienced quarterback right there in the moment, I think. And he gets hit just as he gets ready to release it. And it bounces off the back of an offensive lineman right into the hands of Foreman's best player, who then takes it all the way down for the go-ahead touchdown with 1:53 left. So,
wow.
And then they kicked off to us, kind of pinned us back inside our 35. And come out with a screenplay to Drake Thatcher, and had a great block on the edge by Cooper, or it was Tristan Godwin. Drake did a good job making a guy miss, got it down inside the 15. And then a couple run plays later, McLean Smith sneaks it over from the 1 for the go-ahead score. So I think at that point, I felt like possibly the worst thing that could happen would be for us to have the ball, but I didn't know another way to score.
Oh man, it sounds exciting. It sounds like it'd have been a great game to watch if you didn't care who won. So
yeah, it would have been, I think. You know, and I think depending on what style of football you'd like to see, we you know, they run a flex bone, and they were playing a 5-2 man coverage and a 6-2 man coverage look, depending on what sets we were in. So lots of pressure coming at us. Young quarterback getting his second start now. You know, he's a great athlete, really good with the ball in his hands, knows that he's got some ground to make up in the passing game, but, you know, he grew a lot in that game, and I think he rushed for, maybe 3 touchdowns or something like that. And, Drake Thatcher had, and he had over 250 yards of total offense. So, you know, if you like spread football, I think you got to see a little bit of that. And if you like the old flex bone, triple option, dive, belly, you got to see some of that. So it was a good football game.
Boy, it sounded like it was, and I concur. Coach Baker does a really good job down at Foreman. But that kind of sets the table for another big contest this Friday, especially when you look at the standings, Coach, with the Mineral Springs Hornets.
Yeah, you know, they're all big at this time. We don't have any room for error. And, you know, the way the schedule shapes up, Mineral Springs doesn't have any room for error. Going into that week 10, depending on who comes out of this one, I think we're both fighting for our playoff life, and ought to be a heck of a football game. Howard County Cup in the holler. They're supposed to make an announcement Thursday morning about T-Mobile. So senior night. So there'll be a lot of emotion on that field come Friday.
Well, and Mineral, from watching scores and listening to people talk, it seems like that the last two or three weeks they have been playing better.
Yeah, they're much improved. We've got most of their game films, and they've got some really good athletes on their football team, and particularly the skill positions. Those guys get after it. Quarterback is a threat to run it, throw it. Defensively, they do a real good job in their coverage, and they've got one safety in particular. Both safeties are pretty good, but one safety might be the best high school tackler I've seen in a long time. He is. He's number two. I don't learn names because I don't have enough room in my old brain for all that. So I learn numbers, and number two caught my attention every single time I've put in some film. I mean, a kid that we couldn't have got the kid down in one hand touch football, and from Junction City, and he comes down from about 15 yards deep and hits him for a 2-yard loss on a quarterback keeper. So
wow.
They've got some players. They've got some good coaches. And, we got our hands full. So, just kind of preparing for the week and trying to keep the focus on us. We can't really do much about the kids that Mineral Springs has, but, we can take care of our execution. We can make sure that we do things a little bit better. Started off the week with a good week of practice and taking care of what we didn't do well Friday and, introducing Mineral, and we'll shift to, trying to get the game plan further installed the rest of the week.
Well, Coach, you mentioned the T-Mobile thing, and I've never seen a state, a community, a part of a state come together like they did for the Outlaws. And you said, that will be, we'll know about that on Thursday, but there's got to be a little sigh of relief that now it's kind of all about football. And I know for you, it probably has been, but man, it had to be a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah, and it'll continue to be a distraction no matter which way it goes, to be honest. But it's worth it. And, whether we win, whether we don't, seeing some of our biggest on-field rivals, and it doesn't matter, you can call it a field, but on-field, on-court, cross country, tiddlywinks, math test, I don't think it would matter. There are some schools that we really compete with and that really compete with us. And to see a competition like this, put all that aside and focus on how it benefits the kids, and not just our kids. Some of our plans are to make sure that our visitors have a little bit better accommodations because, our dressing room we put them in is old. We do the best we can to upkeep it. The bathrooms, they have to use the public restrooms for the most part because I believe there's one toilet that works in that dressing room, and there's no barrier. So, no kid wants to sit down there or stand there and go in front of everybody. So, I think anyway that the state, the community, the people that come here and play, I think that they definitely knew that we had a need, and we're not the only ones. Now, the other schools in this competition, they all have, needs the same as ours or like ours that they think are needing, immediate attention. So if we win, we're going to do the best we can to make sure we squeeze every dime out of it. And if we don't win, we'll take the third 30,000 that we've won already and do what we can to improve our facilities. And, either way, it's just been unbelievable to see everybody pretty much across the state of Arkansas from corner to corner. And we got votes from all 50 states. So it's just humbling. I got a few nice text messages from people that I've never met that I guess they Googled me. I hate that stuff. Googled me and saw some interviews, saw some testimonies, saw some things along the line, and they were like, hey, you've got a fan. And, that means a lot, but at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. And, if we don't win, I think we're going to have to explain to a lot of people why we didn't, because I think the support was there. And if we do win, then, you know, already my phone's ringing off the hook for anybody that sells anything that might be considered an upgrade to football. And I really don't want to deal with all that.
I understand. Well, Coach, I, just out of curiosity, I looked up the population of the state of Arkansas, and it's at 3 million. And the last count that I saw for the Outlaws was over half that. And that's just – it's just an incredible thing. We'll see where it ends up Thursday, and hopefully it ends up to where you guys get to do some upgrades. But you all handled it well. You've handled it with class, and just know that, I mean, we think the best of you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And, you know, we were on the road at Foreman Thursday, and a guy was telling me that their press box is in dire shape. And they've done a ton of stuff to improve their facilities over there with new bathrooms. And I think that we will be able to repay for somebody in the state of Arkansas, because I think it did shed a little light on this contest that a lot of schools, us included, before we got in it, before Crystal Green found it, had no idea that it was out there. So I think that no matter how it turns out for us, we'll have an opportunity to pay it back to some of those people that paid it forward and supported us, and we'll be there. So, you know, it's just been a great thing. It's been a great thing for the state, for our community, for the other schools in the area that have a need. And, you know, now it's just time to focus back on football as much as we can.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk next week, hopefully about an Outlaw win maybe a little, what's that color called? It's not pink. What is it? It's
magenta.
Magenta. Yeah.
Magenta. Yeah.
Coach, you have a great week.
All right, Tony. I appreciate it. You too. Go Outlaws.
Go Outlaws.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387 to schedule an appointment today. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. You can call them at 870-898-5181. Come on, man. Martin Veterinary Services, think of them as your other family doctor, okay? Everybody knows their furry little ones. Come on, you need to give them the best health care possible, and you will do no wrong by going with Martin Veterinary Services, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital. Just if you don't take my word for it, take all these Google reviews, 5 stars across the board of all of this. And they're all recent, too. They help our dogs. They give them shots. They check them out. Absolutely awesome place to take your fur babies. This town gained angels when he brought his family here. That's how much people trust Dr. Martin and his staff. Absolutely amazing staff. I've used them personally. I got myself a new dog not long ago. A new dog. You know, got myself a dog, and he was a stray, so took him there. You know, he of course had, you know, worms and some other small problems, some skin problems. They helped him through all of that. And then actually just recently got him, got him neutered over there. And it was a great process. They kept him overnight, you know, and picking him up, and you almost couldn't even tell that anything had happened, you know? So that was very, very cool to see. They love my dog up there, and I'm sure they love yours. I've taken my cats there for their yearly shots and all that stuff. So whether it's just routine or something serious, you can trust DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We appreciate them for sponsoring the podcast since the very beginning. So trust Martin Veterinary Services today. It's now time for my favorite part of the show, the awards segment, where we're able to give out all these players great awards every single week.
Well, let's get started with it, and let's start with the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, and that's going to go to?
Going to go to Landon Weiss, 16 carries and 98 yards against Lakeside.
The Domtar Panther Player of the Week is?
Deshaun Clardy led the Panthers in tackles against Arkadelphia.
Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week.
The versatile Salvador Alderman, who played offensive line and
tight end.
And tight end.
Yeah.
Wow. in the same game, had to switch numbers.
Switch jerseys.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
Keenan Marshall had a key kick return that got the Gators back in the game with Derrick's. He also had 4 tackles.
And that kick return was for a TD.
That's right.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week is going to be?
Bry Williams had 11 tackles and a tackle for loss for the scrap.
Had a great year for that young man. Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week this week is going to be
McLean Smith, who had 25 carries for 102 yards and 4 touchdowns and was 9 of 17 for 120 yards in the air.
All right, and the Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week is a big surprise this week.
Creeping up the record book, Ryder House with 10 tackles and a half against the Dover Pirates.
I would hate to play against Ryder House. Because apparently he's just looking for something to tackle all the time. Union Bank of Mena also sponsors the Eagle Player of the Week. There was no action for the Eagles this week, so there's no Player of the Week. We'll get back to them next week as they start basketball season. Now we're moving on to the area awards. The Toad Thumper Lure Offensive Player of the Area this week is going to be...
going to be Drake Thatcher, 16 carries, 159 yards, and a touchdown. Add to that 3 catches for 73 yards.
And the Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Area.
That's going to be Mason Smith of the Outlaws as well. He only had 16 tackles Friday night.
Only. And then we move up to the overall... T-shirt winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, Mud Creek Designs, Player of the Area, and that is...
Jacoby Hobson of the Scrap had 14 carries for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also was 9 of 11 through the air for 131 yards and 2 more touchdowns.
Yowah.
Yeah. And got one more thing to do, Tony. That's all the awards for the week, but we do have to mention our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week, and that's going to be...
it's going to be the Clinton Yellow Jackets traveling to Mena to play the Bearcats in a big game.
All right. So that's all the awards.
UA Cossetot, cccua.edu. We appreciate them so much for sponsoring the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, and you need to go to that website today. You can find out so much information, including how to apply and enroll, and check out all of their programs and areas of study, their degree plans, medical education, online programs, programs by campus, and their high school programs as well. You can graduate high school with an associate's degree using the UA Cossetot high school programs they have on offer. You can also figure out how to pay for college as well, either with financial aid or scholarships, disbursements and refunds, and so much more. Figure out your textbooks and all career pathways. You can also check out their athletic stuff, their Colts merchandise shop. And speaking of that, you can go to uacossetotcolts.com. That is a website dedicated just for Colts fans. So you can check out, you know, basketball's about to be starting up. Soccer is going strong right now. Their shooting sports are going strong. And you can visit their team shop. And you can donate directly to the UA Cossetot Colts and their athletic department there on the website. So join the Colts Club today and go to uacossetotcolts.com. And again, they're the main website. You can find out everything you need to know. Look at their calendar. Check out more about them and the news and all of their locations and everything. UA Cossetot, again, we appreciate them so much for sponsoring the podcast, and they've been with us for a good while now. So again, it's perfect for us, and we love talking about them. UA Cossetot, hit up cccua.edu today. And I think that about wraps up high school football for this episode, but we love talking about some more national topics, and this conversation is brought to you by Mena Pre-Owned.
All right, guys, I actually had the pleasure of going to the first Razorback basketball exhibition game against Cincinnati, and then watched them last night as they played the Memphis Tigers. Two what I would consider blowout wins, one by 30 and the other one by 24.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they looked really, really good in both games.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
I've got my Arkansas stuff on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be like I said before, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be fun to watch. They still don't have a big inside guy.
Yeah. Well, you would think with the money they're spending, they could find one.
Yeah, you would.
Are we going to do – is there potential to lose these players before the season actually starts?
No. Well, no? I mean, they could get hurt.
I was going to say, injury would be the only way.
Okay. Nobody can
– any of them named Amaliva?
Yeah. Yeah. Any of them? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, they leave – or before the season when that happens.
Okay.
You know, of course, the season hadn't started. The actual real season starts next Monday.
Exhibition games. Marshall's played some big-time exhibition opponents as well. They played Allison Lloyd, and they played Davis and Elkins. So Marshall's done pretty good considering
that a high school teams in West Virginia?
They are definitely would be like Great American Conference teams.
How did Allison Lloyd do against them? Because I hadn't seen her play.
Alice is pretty good. Alice is better than Lloyd, and Davis is better than Elkins.
And, you know, I tell you, when you look at the Razorbacks, though, he has got a pre-conference schedule that is going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play – they play Southern Monday night in their home opener. Then they go to Michigan State.
That's a tough place to play.
Yeah. And then
against a real good coach.
Yeah, and they're playing – they're going to play Duke on Thanksgiving Day in Chicago.
Yeah.
They're playing Louisville in the ACC-SEC Challenge.
Yeah.
They're playing Texas Tech in Dallas. They're playing Houston in New York, but it's actually going to be
good
in New
chance
Jersey.
A lot of those teams could see each other again in March, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to say is they're playing every one of the teams that were in the Elite Eight in their either in their preseason or in the conference.
Right.
So, pretty ambitious schedule for Razorbacks. You know, last night they were led by two freshmen guards.
I mean, those freshmen are pretty good.
They tore it up.
I watched them in like the All-Star games and stuff, high school All-Star games, and you could tell they were going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the thing about Memphis is they've always got good basketball players.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think they're going to be pretty good. Like I said, they're going to be fun to watch. Are they going to win the national championship?
Absolutely. Oh, I thought you were asking.
I was. I was going to say who knows, but you already wrote it down, so yep. I'm writing
it down. I've
already
got my bracket filled out.
Yeah, 10-25 on
it's like
Tuesday
his golf work card.
Yeah.
He's already got it filled out.
Yeah. What's this?
Oh, yeah, I agree for that. But, you know, moving on from that, unless y'all got something else you want to talk about, and that's the best part of it, because now we got to talk about Razorback football. To some extent.
We don't have to.
No, we're not going too much. Well, we're going
to talk. We're contractually obligated to talk about Razorback football.
What we are going to talk about is the fact that our possibility of getting a really good coach keeps going down the longer we wait.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, LSU fires Brian Kelly. Apparently, nobody out there in any of these administrative roles has done the math. And I've done the math. I'm pretty good at math. I stat a lot, things like that. Listen to this. Try to follow me on this. For every winner, there has to be a loser. So that means not everybody can go undefeated. Does everybody understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm there.
So, but everybody wants to go undefeated. I mean, everybody fires their – I mean, Kelly, was he a disappointment in LSU? Probably. Would 34-14 be a disappointment for most schools? Probably not. So it's just
pretty good.
But, you know, most schools don't have LSU's athletes either.
No.
You know, and
probably,
I mean,
money and resources.
Well, it's just, I think that goes back to the same thing. You know, Brian Kelly was a disappointment at Notre Dame. He just left there before they fired him.
Right.
They would have fired him if he'd stayed much longer. But he parlayed something into a job at LSU, but I think the biggest thing with him is, and it all goes back to the same thing. Here's who's calling shots now. It's not the AD. It's the people that are putting all that money into the program.
You're absolutely right.
And you know, if they say, "Hey, I'm tired of screwing with this guy. I'm not going to put money into it anymore," they got to get rid of him.
Yeah, I'm sure Billy Bob Chevrolet in Baton Rouge. They say, "Hey, he'd see any more money from me unless you fire this
guy."
That's right. You know, but LSU goes on the list of teams looking for a coach, which Greg kind of alluded to it. It moves Arkansas down the pecking order, and not all these teams are going to get a big-time coach. And at some point, somebody's going to have to say, you know what, we're not going to get a big-time coach, so we're going to look for the next Cignetti, which is what I've been saying they ought to do all along.
Well, you look at this list that you have here, LSU, Penn State, and Florida. They can probably pick who they want, you know.
Well, can they, though? The rumor is they all want Lane Kiffin, and he says he ain't going anywhere.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying, I'm saying of the coaches that want to go somewhere, you know, or the big name coaches, those are the three
of the coaches
jobs.
That want to go somewhere, they're the ones that's just been fired. They're Williams, they're Kelly. I mean, I'm sure Billy Napier would love to have a call from somebody.
Well, James Franklin, he'll probably get one from LSU.
I don't know. I don't know if that will satisfy their fan base.
And that's the whole thing. And again, I'm going to tell you the same thing about every one of these jobs that I'll say about Arkansas. It's not about who you hire. It's about how much money you got.
Right.
Anything else y'all guys want to talk about before we go?
Nah.
All right. Well, it's time to go for another week. Now we appreciate all our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you, man. We appreciate all the coaches, play-by-play guys getting with us and giving us the information. But most of all, we appreciate the kids. That's who we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.